Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Listen in each week as we bring you an inspiring person who will share their story, ideas, and business techniques to help you create a practice and a life you love. And now introducing your host, Dr. Jesse Green.
Hello everyone, Jesse Green here. Welcome back to SavvyDentist.com and to the Savvy Dentist Podcast, the show where great dentistry meets great business. My guest today is Terry Tran from TheFreedomTrader.com. And you'll remember that Terry's been on our podcast before, but what I really wanted to talk to Terry about today was recessions, how to spot them, how to deal with them, and lessons that can be learned from previous recessions. Terry's portfolio performance over the last few months during this COVID-19 situation has been remarkable. While the market lost 20-30%, his portfolio went neutral. He was able to predict what was happening ahead of time and position himself to find a place of safety and then, of course, be ready to talk about opportunities as they come forward. Now, although Terry looks at this from an investment point of view, the same is true from a business perspective. Out of every adversity comes an equal opportunity. So our job as business owners and leaders in the community is to be able to spot those opportunities and then position ourselves to be ready to take advantage of them when they do present themselves. Now, for those people who are new to our show, welcome. And for the practice owners listening, we do have our COVID care pack available to you. It is entirely free. And all you need to be able to do is to head across to SavvyDentistAcademy.com/SDA free to get a copy of your COVID care pack. Now, what that COVID care pack gives you is access to interviews with accountants, employment lawyers, some resources that we've put together to help you navigate through this COVID-19 situation safely and position yourself for the opportunities that will invariably come up. But for now, let's talk to Terry and hear what he has to say about recessions, how to spot them, how to deal with them, and how to position yourself for the opportunities that will come as well. Hope you enjoy this interview. Here he is. Terry Tran, welcome back to the Savvy Dentist Podcast, mate. As always, it is a delight and pleasure to have you here. How are you, mate?
Very well, Jesse, and always a delight to be back as well.
Mate, it's good. Now, we're going to be talking about finance. We're going to be talking about recessions. We're going to be talking about, you know, what's been happening in the world since we last spoke. And of course, a lot has been happening. So, mate, before we get into it, I wondered if you could just bring us up to date with what's been happening in the life and times of Terry Tran from the finance perspective. What's been happening?
Okay, a lot has happened, of course, as everybody's aware, with all these lockdowns and coronavirus that's happening. But in actual fact, since we last spoke, what ended up happening was we ourselves, plus our 700 plus students, we were preparing for a market downturn because, despite what people say that you can't see things happening like ahead of time, you actually can. There are actually trigger factors.
Yeah.
So we actually saw a potential market downturn all the way back in December and January, which is why we started powering back our portfolios and selling down and locking down all our capital gains for the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And literally, we were hardly invested by December and January. Mm-hmm. And hence, despite the market correction and crash, that some portfolios lost 30%, we actually went positive during that whole period of time.
Yeah,
so since then, what we've been doing is really just now helping all the different industries, seeing ahead of time, you know, not only preparing for the current times, but also going forward in time when something like this happens again, how do you actually prepare for it? Because every business owner needs to know something like this so they don't get caught out like it has.
Yeah. It's really interesting, isn't it, mate? Because, you know, I've got more gray hair than you and I've got more gray hair than many other people. But one of the things I've observed is, you know, I graduated from uni in 1994. And during that period, there was the recession of the 90s, and then there was the dot-com boom and bust. Then there's somewhere in there, there was the Asian financial crisis. Then there was September 11, SARS, MERS, GFC, and of course, here we are. So it occurs to me, Terry, that a crisis, in inverted commas, occurs every 10 years or 8 to 9, 10 years, right? And so we've got to understand that these things do happen and it's going to happen again. So how do we, you know, kind of lick our wounds if we've been caught short this time, but set ourselves up to make sure that we don't get caught out again. Sound fair?
I totally agree because for one thing, it's not only preparing, but getting ready and seeing this as an opportunity where, you know, you don't go into your shell and you actually go out there, take the advantage of what the not only in the markets, because the markets is a lot of things are now cheap. But at the same time, when you're running your business, you know, think about thinking outside the box, pivoting if you need to, and how do you actually take advantage of this opportunity to actually pop out and shine within your own marketplace?
Yeah, lovely. All right, mate. So let's just talk a little bit about lessons from history for a moment. This is where I'd just like to start off. And then, of course, we'll look at, you know, what to do right now, what people should be thinking about. But one of the things I've observed in history as well is that cash is king. It's good to have some cash on hand. And certainly, you know, coming out of the GFC, you know, since that, in that decade, we've been, you know me, Terry, I'm fairly debt averse. I don't like a lot of debt. And you know that I like to keep a lot of cash. So that's been my strategy. Now, that's not, you know, that's not saying it's right. It's probably really wrong, probably missed opportunities. But my point I'm trying to make is, what are the sensible things that people should be focusing on as lessons to come out of this downturn, or lessons that have come out of the GFC that you think are going to be, you know, helpful for the audience moving forward?
I think one of the lessons that is what you already just covered, definitely in times like this, cash is definitely king. And it is always good to have, you know, a number of months of cash flow, knowing that if something was to happen, that you can, the business plus yourself and your family can survive through a bad time. So what it's, of course, very different to different industries, because every industry and as well as everybody's business is different, where, you know, different cost base. So having, just knowing that, having that, I guess, cost covered and survive that period. So that's definitely lesson number one. And the other one is finding tools, which they are out there, to actually see things like this coming. And I mean, we've got like a tool that is not just for the financial markets, but in actual fact, because the financial markets is almost like a forward-looking indicator of things to come in the economy, that tool is also very useful for the actual business as well, to plan ahead. Is there some crisis coming along, you know, down the track? It's not going to be the exact day that you're not going to pick that, you know, that day that the market crashes or the economy crashes, but at least you're going to be early to the party and prepare for it.
Well, the other observation, mate, I noticed, again, in the coronavirus situation was no different, is that when things go south, they go south pretty quickly, right? So, you know, when the tipping point does come, it does fall pretty hard and fast. Is that a normal thing? Does that happen usually when there's a correction?
Yes, because they always say, you know, what's that saying? That the markets and all financial markets go up slowly up on an escalator. Yeah. But when they crash, they go down in a elevator.
Yeah, nice.
So it always happens. But then again, you actually can see that ahead of time to prepare for it. You will be early, but it's always better to be early than late.
Yeah, absolutely. Better to be, you know, ahead of the time rather than caught with your pants down. All right, mate. Yep. So what other lessons, again, you've been through a couple of these corrections before. What other lessons would you take out of that in terms of, you know, coming out of the recession or coming out of a downturn, or coping with a downturn, coping with a potential recession? What things should people be thinking about?
I think if you're, in terms of, you know, obviously you need to make sure that your business is able to survive this period. But barring that, if you know you're okay, is to potentially see what's now around, pivot the business, or potentially also on the financial side, where if you've got, you know, cash ready to go to make some investments, now is probably, and I've seen this time and time again, post-correction, post-market crashes, post-GFCs, they are the best times that you can physically get ready to create that portfolio that you've always wanted, because that will set you up for the next decade. And then that's going to have another, basically another bull run for the next decade. And this is literally, I mean, since GFC, it's been over 10 years, and you can see it, you know, when you talked about the different from Asian crisis to dot-com bust, it's always that 8, 9, 10 year period. There's always this cycle that always revolves, and you just got to prepare for it.
Okay. So again, I guess the challenge in that though, mate, is someone's going to be saying, well, how do I know when the bottom of the market's going to be? Now, I know you're going to say you probably can't pick the bottom of the market, but how do I know when to get back into the market so I'm not catching a falling knife?
Yeah, there is actually a tool that we do show, and we're going to show that in an upcoming deeper dive session. But there's a tool called the VIX, basically VIX, and it is a free tool that it's what they call it, the volatility or fear index. And that is one incredible tool that is not only about for the financial markets, but that is one tool that allows you to see ahead of time, is there going to be another crisis as well?
Okay. So when it comes to recessions, yeah, there's obviously some causes that come through. What are some of the common causes of a recession? What are those triggers? What leads us to recession, right?
Yeah, Jesse, time and time again, there's usually five main key causes of recessions. The first one is usually pre-recession, very high, basically heightened interest rates. And you know, if you go back in time, every single GFC recession that occurs, it's usually the government that have heightened the interest rates way too much. And then they've literally just stagnated the economy.
Yeah.
And that's potentially a precursor to a recession. Of course, that's not happening right now. So that's number one, but then in a way, it's not occurring right now. So therefore, that is irrelevant at this point in time. The other key cause is usually also heightening inflation levels, where money is cheap. Everybody comes in, starts buying things, pushes the price of goods and services up. And, you know, people feel too wealthy. Therefore, you know, free spending. Mm-hmm. Therefore, the government comes in and they want to step in, increase the interest rates to slow that growth down, to tamper down the, I guess, expectations. And that could be also, if they do it too much, that can also create potentially a recession as well.
Mm.
A third factor is usually very depressed or massively dropping corporate profit levels. And, you know, 2 or 3 months ago, you wouldn't say that because we've had it for a very good run over the past 10 years. And the good thing, though, is that despite what's happening right now, a lot of the corporates, the big corporates, and I'm talking about the Nikes, and the Coca-Colas, the Googles, the Facebooks, these guys have been able to create a very big cash buffer or buffer zone in terms of their balance sheet strength. So those companies will be very likely to withstand situations like this. Despite whatever's happening with all these lockdowns, they're able to withstand something like this. So although the corporate levels will definitely drop over the coming quarter or two, but what's occurred is over the past 10 years, they've been able to have this buffer to therefore withstand it. So that's also usually a cause of recession when there's massively dropping corporate profit levels as well.
Mm-hmm.
The fourth one is usually unemployment rates. Of course, pre-recession, there's usually always a massive spike in unemployment. And of course, that is occurring right now. So that is definitely one cause, I guess, concern, because if people don't have jobs, they go out and spend. And the funny thing is that this period is slightly different because even if people could go out and spend, they don't go out and spend anyway because of the lockdowns and they couldn't go out and spend. So it's a slightly different situation compared to the previous, only because of the current, you know, coronavirus and the lockdowns that's occurred. So that's usually the fourth key cause. And finally, global growth. If global growth starts, you know, really going down south very fast, then that is also a precursor to another recession as well. So therefore, these are usually the five key causes that whenever you step back and you look from, you know, from far or wide, you can actually see, you know, is something major going to start affecting the actual global economy and, of course, therefore create a recession.
Mm.
So if you're aware of these five factors, you can actually see it coming. And that's something that, you know, everybody, including yourself, myself, we can actually see this as well.
Yeah. So the commentary at the moment, Terry, of course, is that, you know, recession is almost inevitable. So when it comes to, you know, managing that upcoming recession, obviously we may not be right in it just yet. We may be just a couple of weeks or a month or two away from really feeling that. In the next month or two, what should people be doing?
I think for the next month or two, in terms of the investment side, even ourselves, even with the markets that have dropped, we've actually still stepped we're still on the sidelines. We haven't actually invested.
Mm.
We're holding back. And only because a lot of key indicators is showing that the business environment, the economy, plus the markets are actually still on a bit on stable grounds.
Mm.
So until we can see that things are stabilizing a little bit more, that's when we'll go back into financial markets. Mm. And I think with the lockdowns, the slight problem that we have is that we don't know, of course, how long this is going to last.
Mm.
But the governments around the world, they know that they can't keep on having these lockdowns go on for too long further, because economically wise, it's actually devastating, not only the countries, but also globally as well.
Yeah.
So from the preparation point of view, I think it's really in terms of business, it's pivoting, but also at the same time, being able to see this as a potential opportunity to actually also shine. And even on the, you know, for, you know, Jesse, correct me if I'm wrong, with a lot of businesses, they usually have, say, advisors, financial advisors, business mentors, things like that.
Mm.
And when things like this happen, they usually want to cut back on certain things, which is great on cutting back expenses, but then they may accidentally cut back on, you know, the advice that they actually require to get them out of the trouble, which may be the mentors that, you know, the programs they're in, things like that. And by doing that and going back into a shell, that actually creates even longer term problems as well.
Yeah, yeah, totally. And there's lots of documented cases of that from the GFC where that occurred too, and people just took longer to recover than it needed to be. Okay, so if that's the case, then let's talk about other pitfalls that people make. You've obviously mentioned, or mistakes that people make. You've mentioned going into your shell and not looking at things through the investment lens, but looking at things as expenses when they are really investments. What other mistakes do you think people make during these times?
I think that the biggest, and this is not just the investment, but I think is being glued up to every single headline that is out there because one, I mean, in the end, when you turn on the news at the moment, you're seeing every single day, pretty much every hour almost, is all about coronavirus, how many people have died, how many people are getting infected. And to the psychology, it's actually not good at all. And that creates another problem that makes people even shrink even further into their shell. Yeah. So I think it's a mistake to be glued to TV screens and just trying to, you know, sort of decipher every single piece of news that's coming out there. And in the end, they're all just headlines and potentially even sensational headlines. So of course they want you to be glued to the screen.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's actually good to step away from that and focus on what's most important, which is of course your health, the family, and of course the business as well, because that is the three things that will get you out of it and not the actual headlines.
Yeah, totally. And I'd add social media to that list of things to avoid.
Oh,
as
yes.
Well,
yes. That's another thing too.
Yeah.
Totally agree.
Yeah. All right, mate. So with respect to this particular scenario, coronavirus and all the rest of it, and as we spoke about, the coronavirus was a trigger. You know, you and others had predicted that there was going to be a downturn. And of course, the trigger was the trigger, but that downturn was predicted. What I'm trying to ask in this case is, what in this scenario specifically has surprised you, if anything? Has there been anything that you kind of go, wow, you know, that's been a surprise, or that's been a bit out of the ordinary, or, you know, that was just not quite a replica of, you know, past recessions? What is there anything particularly unique about this situation?
The one thing that did surprise me was the speed of the spread of the so-called coronavirus.
Yep.
And the other part was the lockdowns that occurred, because, you know, even going back in GFC days, it was bad. And people say, oh, is this comparable to the GFCs, or is it comparable more to the 1930s? And there are a number of, there are comparisons, but they are, every single one of them are different. For example, the GFC, what people don't know was the GFC, in actual fact, behind the scenes, was actually far worse.
Yeah.
Yes, it doesn't feel, this period of time feels worse than the GFC, because this is far more wide reaching, only because of all the different industries that it's affecting, not because of the virus, but because more of the lockdowns that's occurred.
Mm.
But the GFC, in actual fact, was worse because what people don't know was behind the scenes, all the banks were potentially going to fail.
Yeah.
The financial system was collapsing. And globally, if the financial system actually collapses, that's actually got far worse implications long term. And hence why the governments had to step in, and they learned that lesson.
Yeah.
And the lessons that they took there have actually come back, and they've speeded up the process of, you know, the stimulus packages that they're coming up. They're no longer waiting, because they've learned from the past that the longer they wait, the worse it gets.
Yeah.
So it's more of, I think what surprised me is the speed of that spread, plus the speed of all the lockdowns across the world. And that's just, you know, triggered this massive, I guess, downturn in the, not only the economy, but of course, small and medium-sized businesses.
Yeah. And just to pull a couple of those threads together from what we've spoken about already, Terry, the GFC, and you spoke about not paying too much attention to headlines and all the rest of it. And the reason I bring this up is I remember when the GFC was happening, and I remember, and this is just a personal view, and listeners, please don't take this as gospel, but I remember feeling much more uncertain and unhappy about my lot that back then than I do now. And I guess the reason I'm saying that is because if you listen to the news stories now, and again, I don't think that's going to be helpful or healthy, but if you do listen to them, they're basically saying, yeah, this is the worst thing since the 1930s, since the Great Depression, or, you know, whatever it is, right? But they're saying exactly the same thing about the GFC, right? Because yeah, it's really interesting, because the news stories, I mean, you could just take out GFC and replace with coronavirus. If we ran the news stories from 10 or 12 years ago and substituted GFC with coronavirus, it'd be exactly the same news story. So the reason I'm bringing that up, Terry, is yes, I agree that, yeah, there's obviously, I'm not trying to downplay the seriousness of the situation, but I am trying to just give some perspective that this thing does happen every 10 years or so. There'll be another one in 10 years' time. And the more you pay attention to the news, obviously the less helpful it is. But if you get a few more gray hairs on your head, you'll start to see the same news cycle being repeated again and again and again. And it's just, it's the same story that gets thrown around.
Yeah, exactly. And this is why I always say that, because it's always a cycle, and it happens again and again. This is not going to be the last again.
No.
10 years later, you're going to find another one. And why I always say, you know, actually one lesson I forgot to mention is, it's an important lesson to show that, you know, things can happen, you know, from what I call black swan events from left field that you did not expect.
Yep.
And this is why, whether you've got a job or you've got your own practice or business, it's important that you create wealth outside the business, whether that be in, you know, you've got a very big savings account just sitting there full of cash, or other liquid assets like stocks, bonds, things like that. So very important that you create wealth outside the actual business. So therefore, if anything ever happens like this, that you're always financially okay. Mm. And therefore, that really reduces stress dramatically.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. And I think that's absolutely wonderful advice, mate, because everyone needs a plan B. Everyone needs a second stream of income. Everyone needs to have some peace of mind money so that when you put your head on the pillow at night, you sleep soundly and you have nice dreams and all of that. All right, mate, I wanted to ask you, obviously, you know, you tune into the financial commentary, I imagine. You probably hear what people say, commentary this, commentary that. What surprises you at the moment? What are the things you kind of scratch your head and go, really?
Okay. What's surprising me right now is over the last week and a half or 2 weeks, late March, the markets were like really battered. They were down by 30%.
Yeah.
And yet over the last 2 weeks, somehow, not sure why, I do understand why. The markets have sort of had a bit of a mini bounce back where they've, and people's like, oh, wow, this is this is going to be the next bull market that's happening again. And that's very surprising because in actual fact, what has really happened? Nothing. We are nowhere near in terms of, you know, there's no vaccine that's been found. The vaccine, from what I understand, the closest one is going to be early next year.
Yep.
So from that point of view, there are band-aid solutions. People are recovering. So it's not as, you know, there are certain parts of the community, like the elderly, people who are already, you know, sometimes a little bit ill and they catch it. Of course, that increases their chances of, you know, on the death side. But what surprises me is that the bounce back and some of the optimism that's saying that this is the next bull market leg, which is definitely not true. This period's going to, you know, linger around for a little bit longer. And we need to prepare for that and not have another headline saying, oh, now it's all well and good. And the whole world's, we're lifting the lockdowns and the world's going back to normal.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen that quickly. So that's why we got to prepare for it and understand that this will take longer than expected. And if it speeds up a little bit, great. That's actually better news, but it's better to be prepared for a longer run of this sort of dragging on a little bit longer than sort of being again caught flat footed the second time around.
Mm, yeah, absolutely. Okay. So we've got to understand this is going to linger, perhaps stagnate for a while, bounce up and down, bit of uncertainty. This is not such a financial question, mate, but as someone who deals with volatility for a living like you do, and of course I know you work with lots of people, how do people manage their emotional state when there's volatility? Do you have any thoughts about that? I know that's probably a little bit outside a financial conversation.
It's actually inside my realm, because the only way you can really deal with uncertainty and volatility is having a process and system-driven system of either investing or running your business.
Yeah.
And if you have certainty in that, just knowing that there's a process, no matter what happens, good and bad, and that process needs to be able to survive both good and bad periods. Because if a process or investment system or business system only survives in good periods, it's really not a good process.
Nice.
So you need a process that can deal with both. And if you've got that, and this is where, you know, mentors come in on board and, you know, never see that as a cost, but more of as investment. And if you've got that on board, then you really don't, you embrace volatility and you embrace panics, in actual fact.
Yeah.
I'm actually embracing this panic because it throws up the opportunities that don't come very often. They usually come every decade, and that's right. Why I'm preparing for it now.
Yeah, love that, mate. Excellent. And ladies and gents, my take on that is, yes, I know that we're in a period of limited practicing opportunities, but the patients will come back. There will be pent-up demand. So my take on this is the practices that come out of the gates, super prepared, ready to work, ready to generate cash flow from their practice, are going to be the ones that are best positioned to take advantage of the opportunities, because not just from a business perspective, but from an investment perspective, because if you can generate cash flow quickly, reliably, and, you know, as Terry said, with a system and a process, which, you know, we all talk about with a money machine and all the rest of it, then you're going to be in a position to take some of that, quarantine it, put some peace of mind money aside, but also be able to build out a second income stream. And I think that's going to be key. And I love that message. So Terry, mate, you're always really generous with your time, and I appreciate that so much. Is there anything that you think dentists and specifically dental practice owners should be thinking about that we've not covered?
I think it's important. I think it probably just extends to what we've been talking about, but I think it's important that in your practice, of course, you've got clientele, and whether, you know, I know I do fully understand, because I've got a lot of friends that are also dentists as well, and their practice have been, you know, vastly impacted by these lockdowns and the number of services that you can provide as a dentist in the practice. So I think if you can take this opportunity to also potentially, you know, like what you just said, Jesse, is, you know, go out there and, you know, how do you actually shine? And I think the way to shine is now potentially go out there and care a little bit more.
Yes.
In other words, making the phone call and say, you know, understand that, you know, of course, this period of time, not visiting dentists, you know, we ourselves, we've got limited service that we can offer. But however, we're here and, you know, is everything okay with the family? Things like that. And I think just that general care amongst people that will put you up in a very different light where you definitely therefore shine. They're not only just a dentist, but you're a person who now cares.
Yeah. Amen to that, brother. I absolutely endorse that 1,000,000,000%. Yeah. One of the good things that does come out of a crisis like this sometimes is you do see sometimes the very best of people. And, you know, like we saw in the bushfires, like we're seeing now, we're seeing some really good things being done by some really good people. And again, I'd really encourage all the business owners out there to pick up the phone to your patients. Don't delegate that to your receptionist. Get on the phone and talk to them yourself. And certainly my wife, Miranda, has been doing that, Terry, and she's often on the phone for a lot longer than she expects, but she's having a great time talking to people because she's got time to do it now and she loves it and it's great. And I think she gets more out of it than they do.
Yeah. And then post-crisis, and because everything, this too shall pass. That's one message I want to, this too shall pass. Just like GFC, just like dot-com boom, just like every single other recession, this too shall pass. And when that passes, and imagine you did that, you took the time to do that in the time that you've got now. When the time passes, everyone's going to remember you as the dentist for life.
Yeah. Love that. Awesome. Hey, mate, you've been wonderful as always. Thank you so much for coming on to our show. Terry, if people want to find out more about you and what you do, where's the best place for them to visit, please, mate?
Either the website, www.thefreedomtrader.com. And Jess, I believe what I'm thinking of doing is potentially actually also running a deep dive session just for, you know, for the practices as well.
Yep.
And, you know, come on, we'll organize that over the next week.
Yep.
And I really want to share with them what I spoke about, you know, the VIX. How do you actually use that? How do we see it ahead of time? Because then that's going to help you not only prepare for the current situation, but prepare for the next situation down a track as well. And how do you actually choose and sift out all the best investments that is now, actually out now out there, you know, waiting to be picked up.
Fantastic.
So,
mate.
Yeah. So I want to run one of those sessions for you guys.
All right. So we'll post that into the Savvy Dentist Facebook group and go from there. Mate, once again, thank you. I always love talking to you, Terry, because lots of things. I learn a lot about how you think and how you operate, but I just love your energy. I love your view. I love your outlook on life, mate, because I'm with you. I think this too shall pass. There are opportunities going to come up, you know, in the next few months, next year, that will only come around, you know, once a decade. So I think let's kind of get ready for that and let's make the best of it and come out the other side stronger, better than we went in.
Yep, totally agree.
Yeah, awesome. All right, bud, thanks so much. Once again, you're a scholar and a gentleman, and I'm looking forward to having you on again shortly.
No worries. Thanks, Jess. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, mate.
Thank you for listening to the Savvy Dentist podcast with Dr. Jesse Green. For more free tools and resources, join the free Facebook group. Visit drjessegreen.com/Facebook. And for more episodes, visit drjessegreen.com/Savvy Dentist.